This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, shout out to every trailblazer tuning in today. You know, these are rare and magical times.
Euphemism.
Right? You're here because you're courageous and you're not settling for any bullshit right now. You're not around waiting, right, to see what the new normal looks like. You are busy creating it. So bravo. You're going to love today's topic and you're going to emerge stronger, you know, not just after coronavirus, but during. Like, that's our whole effort, right? And our whole message today. So let's dive in. Ray, what are we talking about today in Lucky episode number 13?
About it today, we are talking about the engineering, building materials, construction manufacturers emerging stronger, not only after coronavirus, but during. And the thing to think about here is this is such a critical topic right now. I get it. What isn't? The first few weeks of the crisis, most manufacturers were focused on kind of the first two steps that we look at, which is resolving the immediate issues. It's like, hey, it hit the fan. What are we doing? We had to scramble to still exist, take care of our people. Secondly, building some resilience. That's the big word these days for the coming months. How do we ride this out, not knowing how long it's going to be around?
Yeah.
Majority of building materials manufacturers are by no means out of danger, and they won't be for some months. But now is the time to start reimagining our industry and how organizations can emerge in the next normal. And I emphasize next normal from a position of strength.
Yeah. And in a recent McKinsey article that you brought to my attention, they talked about the five horizons for ECB companies, right? For engineering, construction, and building materials. And you and I couldn't help but see a tie-in with manufacturing, right?
Right.
Common. So the five main horizons that they talked about, and we want to uncover or unpack just really two of these five today, the two that you felt like were most important, and I agree with you. And then the seven actions for success. And again, we're not going to go through every one because, you know, we'll cite the article in our show notes, but just the ones that we felt like we should really hit on today that we could have a courageous conversation about. So the five horizons, right? Resilience, resolve, return, reimagination, and reform. So pack some of that. You saw a lot of high level crossover between ECB and manufacturers. So I would love for you to jump in and share some of that.
Absolutely. You know, a couple of things that were real obvious for me. At a real high level, there are a tremendous amount of similarities. Really doesn't matter, almost outside of manufacturing included, resolve, resilience, and return. Those are common themes everybody's facing right now. Some of the interesting overlap that I saw was where ECB is perhaps a little bit ahead of manufacturers and vice versa. In some ways, ECB is way ahead in terms of some of the digital tools that are available, namely 4D and 5D simulations. The manufacturing world, everybody's heard about, you know, hey, 3D modeling, and we've heard about simulations, digital twin, and those types of things. In the engineering and construction industries, 4D and 5D, take 3D, and for 4D, they add an element of time to the project, because efficiency is very much measured in meeting time horizons. From a 5D perspective, the extra dimension added there is cost. So that's pretty interesting to see. In one area where ECB is lagging a little bit is the use of modular construction, the vernacular of the ECB industry, versus say the use of subassemblies in the manufacturing space. So they're just beginning. There's some progress being made in that area that I think is going to drive a lot of productivity. Across both segments, it's so important right now to look at the divestiture of underperforming segments. You can't hang on to those pet projects that were developed and implemented at a time when the world looked very differently. If they didn't make sense then, or they weren't making sense, they probably definitely aren't going to make sense now. Get them out of the way so that you can redirect resources in a more productive manner. Diversification to mitigate risk. That's a common theme across any business. And digital tools. Man, is that drum being beaten like crazy these days. Have to have it in order to optimize visibility, speed, and productivity. Never been more important than it is right now. The five horizons that we talked about are an excellent model. But as you mentioned, what I saw is the probably the most challenging to implement, and also the ones that are going to have the biggest impact are the fourth and fifth. Reimagination of what the future is going to look like, and reform in order to be to function properly in that environment. So, you know, one of the big things that jumps out when we talk about digital tools. And the McKinsey article had stressed accelerating the rollout and adoption of digitization. You know what? There's really no time for the perfect roadmap at this point.
Exactly.
Manufacturers in the ECB space, they may need to ensure that they have updated business information modeling, market access through e-commerce, as well as effective digitally enabled remote sales. There's a lot of things they have to be doing, but they've really got to get going on these tools right now. There's really no time to wait.
Well, exactly. And what do you say to, I might put you on the spot here. What do you to manufacturers who are, I don't know. It's because I speak to a lot of them and it feels like things happen incredibly slowly. Change occurs at a snail's pace for some of these operations. So what do you say to manufacturers right now who are waiting? Or here's a great example. I was talking to a client yesterday and they were complaining about their IT department. And they said, we have asked for them to implement some simple things that would really streamline how we add products, how we reduce, right, the time it takes for us to spend on that. And all we keep hearing from them is, oh, well, and if anybody's ever met an IT person, and I'm not putting them down. However, I have seen this response repeatedly. Well, Wilbur, it's just crazy. Or no, we can't do that. And this person said to me, I'm sorry, when did they become in charge of our growth, of our, you know, capacity for change, of our keeping up with, it was baffling to this person. And I had to agree. So what do you say to people like that who are kind of, I don't know, I feel like they're stuck in this mindset or this myriad of excuses?
It's interesting because the other side, the products or components manufacturing, you know, electronics manufacturing, rolling out of Industry 4.0 initiatives, one of the first barriers that needed to be broken down was the IT as the gatekeeper for any innovation, those types of things. A lot of organizations, IT reported up through finance, very little, if any, connection to the operations side of the business. Define that however you see fit. The more impactful approach these days is in changing organizational structures where there's an element of accountability and responsibility to the operations side of the business. So I get it. Change is hard, even to people that are used to change. You know, which, you know, sounds crazy, but that's a lot of the IT folks. All of a sudden, kind of the democratization of the tools that are available and how they are deployed. It's unsettling in a lot of IT departments. They're losing control over it. Yeah. Which makes them feel vulnerable. So, in organizations like that, it's like that's that's the tail wagging the dog. You know, that should not exist, and that's a leadership issue, you know, number one. So
yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, one of the, because again, we're not going to cover all seven, but one of the seven steps, which you and I both felt is incredibly important, is to invest in culture and skills that are needed to operate in the next normal, right? Yeah. The old normal is gone.
Yep.
So there's no better time to, like right now, we have to focus on balancing performance and health. Mm-hmm. I think both mental and physical. So investing in your culture, this is about job security and productivity for your people. Mm-hmm. And there's no better time also to upskill your entire workforce, right? Train on new tools and technologies and, you know, BIM being one of them. But I personally think it's got to be across the board. And you might want to chime in on that. But of course, I look at a lot of things from the marketing and sales side of the operation. And that's what I love about our collaboration, is that you look at things first and foremost from the inside, from the operations and a leadership perspective. And then we kind of, you know, meet in the middle.
Right. Well, one of the things I hear from clients and my friends that are running manufacturing companies is in the downturn, to a person, they say they're doing everything they possibly can to protect the skilled workforce that they've worked so hard to bring on board in the first place. Yep. The lack of available skilled workers, it still exists. There's still a huge gap out there. So a lot of what's going on right now is to protect that base. One thing that was interesting, I caught an article in New Zealand, and again, different countries have mechanisms that are easier to deploy than others. But in their recent budget, they were able, as a country, they were able to go out and actually say that retraining initiatives for positions in industries that are in demand and are hurting to get skilled workers, the government is underwriting that. So for manufacturing, for construction and industries like that, there is that safety net that is using this time to help reskill and retrain. So this was, listen to us, we agree with McKinsey, they're right.
Well, and definitely, I think as a final note on that particular, you know, investing in culture and skills, greater engagement, not only with customers, but on the inside.
Yeah.
Employees. I've spoken to a number of employees who feel really, displaced from home and isolated, being from, you know, there's no travel, they're not seeing those faces every day and having that camaraderie and that support. And so I think this is something that we need to pay attention to, is being inward.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the tools and techniques that will help the business, and, you know, transparency, shared information, visibility, you know, those types of things, it's funny how they kind of translate back to the people side of things too. You know, for all the complaining we do about, you know, micromanaging and those sorts of things, which I believe is true, there's also an element in there of, hey, somebody's paying attention to me. You know, it's an old Hawthorne effect. You know, it wasn't the lighting that drove productivity. It was the fact that people were being paid attention to. Well, how do we do that remotely? You know, so that's part of the figuring it out, right?
Mm-hmm. Part of the reimagination, for sure.
Yep.
And then before, you mentioned specifically 4 and 5 on that horizon scale. I would love it if you would talk about that for a minute, because you had some really great insight.
Well, I think part of what we really need to think about now is something we talked about before. The pandemic crisis has hit all of us at such a level of impact for a sufficient duration that a number of the behavioral changes that have been forced upon us are going to stick, or certainly be with us for a very long time. So it's within, business leaders have to have that in mind as they work through 4 and 5. And that's what makes this so difficult, because before it was easy to envision a way where it snaps back to the way things used to be. And in this case, that's not going to be the situation. We really need to, as a business leader, the scenario you need to run in your mind is that COVID-19 has burned the bridge that would have allowed you to go back to the way things were. So if that's the case, what does next look like for your business and your people and your market and your customer journey, you know, and those types of things? So I really think it's important to have a context behind reimagining the next normal. And there are going to be flavors and degrees to that. Different businesses are going to be impacted different ways by that. But it's from my perspective and experience and the businesses I've engaged with and the people I've talked to, that, you know, hey, let's rewind to the way it was long ago in 2019. We will at some point see a return to business volume, but it will not be conducted the way it was. And it likely will not be delivered the way that it was. And if those things don't have an impact on your business plan and how you're going to adapt to that environment, or if you're not addressing it, you're going to have a problem. So the reimagination is a tough part because you need context. Reform, be clear on how regulatory and competitive environments in the industry may shift. I see it right now. I've got, you know, people that I know that are working on big development projects all over the world are faced with different requirements. Where is your labor coming from? Where are your materials coming from? How are you handling testing for COVID-19 in those environments? So it's changed everything, and those things are going to be around us for a while. So need to look at it. There are companies out there, and we're fortunate enough to know of them, and in some cases having engaged with them that are doing some really cool things in this space. Our friends at Pacific Stair, just outside of Salem, that are doing industrial stairways for high-rise buildings, are one of the early players in modular construction for what they do. In terms of a just-in-time delivery that is assembled very quickly and in a standard fashion. They do some awesome stuff. You introduced me to Katerra, basically a company that's kind of the poster child for technology and offsite building. And I've had the great good fortune to get involved with a company in Toronto, Canada called 3D Cityscapes that is already developing and creating the customer experience journey. How do you take those simulation tools and turn them into something that is not only relatable, but enjoyable for prospective tenants or owners of major building projects that are happening around the world without having to be on site to see them? So there are some really awesome things that perhaps were a bit lost in the noise a few months ago, but are now very rapidly moving to the forefront because this is what's required for the new next.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We'll put links to each of those companies' websites because I highly recommend that, you know, you check them out, you who are listening, because they truly, each one of those companies is doing just really some prolific things right now. And I think are great examples of reimagining and reforming. Even ahead of COVID. So one of the last things that we wanted to talk about in those, you know, 7 action steps is get closer to customers. I think some people listening will say, well, duh, you know, we're doing that. We're in touch with our customers, right? Our salespeople are on it. So what we mean by that is, again, I think context, when you brought that up, and I think it's the perfect word, and it's the perfect way to think about getting closer to customers, is understanding how their preferences are changing and where they're headed. So, you know, online retail is definitely, if you haven't been thinking about, I know a lot of manufacturers, for example, and just a lot of different people in the building material space who have resisted e-commerce like the plague, like don't want it, quit, it's not possible. I think we need to rethink that. And you know, this remote working and building more sustainable communities. And, you know, it's really unclear what all the shifts will be, right? What all is going to emerge. Mm-hmm. But we can assume that many of these things are going to become ingrained. They're going to become normalized. So really pay attention to customer preferences right now. And when we say get closer to customers, it might mean some different things than what it used to. So that's kind of the point with that. And I've got to throw one last thing in before we wrap up. Of course, this is close to our hearts because we live in the marketing and sales world, and we know how incredibly important it is to support your sales team with really good marketing that is for the customer and because of the customer, not at them. But this is not time to eradicate or reduce your marketing. And I have this incredible example. I was talking to an industry colleague this week, and he told me the tale of a client of his who is in a prime state to explode when the COVID smoke clears. Absolutely explode. The reason being is that they are in the building material space, and the fact that customers, or your customer's customer, is going to be flocking to reimagining their space, their home, right? Because they've spent so much time there and they've had a lot of time to look at it. And they're like, God, we need a different view, right?
Yeah.
This particular company is a company that is going to, they could sell the hell out of their products. However, in a reactionary measure, the owner promptly, this was 3 weeks into COVID, I believe, promptly fired or furloughed the VP of marketing and their in-house designer. So effectively, this company, who should remain top of mind right now, is saying nothing, is people are not hearing from them. People are not, they're not felt. Mm-hmm. Right? They're not seen, they're not heard, and they're not felt. So guess what? Their major competitor, who is very well known in the industry, is just going to dominate, and with ease, when the COVID smoke clears. So, you know, I think the point here is be cautious when reimagining, you know, that is it better to be proactive right now or reactive? And I have a fear that some of this reactivity is going to bite people in the ass. So we want to wrap up. If you're not already, please subscribe to this podcast. We really appreciate you. We love hearing from you. So if there's a topic, a courageous conversation that you want to have that we haven't covered yet, or maybe something that needs more coverage, please reach out. You can DM us on LinkedIn, where we're very active. You can contact us through mfgoutloud.com, and sharing is caring. So if you would be so kind to pass this along to a colleague and ask them to tune in and subscribe, and they can get real already.
So here's to emerging stronger later, because we were courageous today. And remember, keep manufacturing out loud. We need you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.